Okay, welcome to October 27th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do the show is because I am a proud patriotic American. And hopefully you're listening because you are also a proud patriotic American. I assembled the show from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. By the way, if you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now, let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags, and put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen, brothers and sisters. And now on to today's headlines. We'll wish a happy birthday to Teddy Roosevelt, plus another happy birthday to Albert Medwin. He came up with the first CMOS chip. The Neon Building opens up in Vegas. And we'll wish a happy birthday to Professor Winkler, who came up with sprites in space. All right, so now here I go. 1858. Happy birthday number 26, Teddy Old Rough and Ready Bull Moose Roosevelt. Born in New York City in 1858, Teddy, as he was called as a youngster, was a sickly child with asthma, but started pumping iron in the gym as a teenager. In December 1886, while enrolled at Harvard, he met Alice Hathaway Lee in London and married her soon after. He headed the Rough Rider Regiment during the Spanish-American War, serving as Assistant Secretary of the Navy under President McKinley, where he led a charge at San Juan, going beast mode. His wife and mother passed away on the same day in the same house. Teddy wrote over 40 books, but he was so struck with sorrow when writing his autobiography, he never mentioned Alice. In fact, he was so grief-stricken, he nearly spent the rest of his life cattle ranching in the Badlands of the Dakotas. But his old girlfriend, Edith Crow, came back into his life. Actually, as children, they watched the Abraham Lincoln funeral procession from his grandfather's window together, and now they were secretly married. Back in New York City, Theodore ran unsuccessfully as mayor of New York, but his luck changed in 1898 when he won the election of governor of New York. His progressive policies got him into trouble with Tom Platt and other high-ranking state party members, and they needed to silence Rough Rider Roosevelt. So, they accepted him as the Republican candidate for vice president under President William McKinley. After all, the vice presidency is a thankless job, and no one in the state party leadership expected McKinley to die in office. I mean, who would have seen that coming? Some deranged psycho-anarchist named Leon Czolgosz took McKinley out. After he was assassinated, Rough Rider became the youngest president at age 42. He took the oath of office without laying his hand on the Bible, the second president to do so besides John Quincy Adams. According to WhiteHouse.gov, he brought new excitement and power to the presidency as he vigorously led Congress and the American public towards progressive reforms and a strong foreign policy. Good old WhiteHouse.gov. Here's how it actually went down. Domestically as president, Rough Rider established the Square Deal, which focused on the three C's: conservation of natural resources, control of corporations, and consumer protection, guaranteeing justice to all involved between capital and labor, and special favors to nobody. But Teddy the Lion didn't stop there. He enforced the Sherman antitrust laws against the Northern Securities Company, which was a railroad company formed by James Hill, E.H. Harriman, and J.P. Morgan. TR would be pushed around by no one, and he made that crystal clear. In addition, we can thank TR for setting aside 200 million acres of natural lands for preservation, which was five times all his predecessors combined. Is it any wonder that he won the 1904 presidential nomination in a landslide? In 1905, he walked his niece, Eleanor Roosevelt, down the aisle to marry a young Franklin Roosevelt, who was his fifth cousin removed. Speaking of family affairs, Martin Van Buren was actually his fifth cousin removed as well. T.R. was the first to invite an African-American to dinner at the White House. That would be Booker T. Washington. Bull Moose Roosevelt was the first to call the White House the White House. Previously, it was called the President's House or the Executive Mansion. He was the first president to study martial arts, specifically jiu-jitsu, since an injury kept him from his first love, which was boxing. Also in presidential firsts, he was the first to own a car, which is a purple Columbia Electric Victoria, the first to fly in an airplane, which was a Wright Brothers biplane, and the first to be submerged in a submarine. The state of Oklahoma was also admitted to the Union during his administration. On a hunting trip in 1902, Teddy refused to shoot an injured bear. This act of mercy was illustrated in cartoons and many newspapers. Morris Mitchtom, later president of the Ideal Toy Company, had a toy bear that needed a name. He asked Teddy to borrow his name, and T.R. agreed. Thus, the teddy bear we have to this day. Speaking of animals, while living in the White House, T.R. and his family had a garter snake, guinea pig, and two dogs named Pete and Sailor Boy. In foreign policy, Rough Rider Roosevelt liked to quote a famous proverb, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." This big stick of his would use the Monroe Doctrine to shake away European nations from collecting owed debts in Latin America with a naval blockade, ensuring the Europeans would get their money. And that, my friends, began the United States police power over the Western Hemisphere. Also in Latin America, Theodore used his big stick and naval blockade to help Panama secede from Colombia, thereby ensuring the construction of the Panama Canal, which would create a shortcut between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. He's the first president to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for assisting to end the war between Russia and Japan. Although if the two nations had fought it out, that would, of course, change the events leading to the ensuing world wars. After all, how was he to know that his son-in-law and cousin Franklin Roosevelt would have to untangle that mess? And finally, in the spirit of his predecessors William McKinley's foreign policy, the Rough Riders showed the U.S. as a world power by sending the Great White Fleet on a goodwill tour around the world. Upon leaving the presidency in 1909, Roosevelt threw his support behind his close friend William Howard Taft, who succeeded him, and went out on an African safari and toured Europe. But upon his return, he was frustrated to find that Taft's policies leaned to the conservative side instead of the progressive side, and thus jumped back into politics, creating the Progressive, or Bull Moose Party. He would run in 1912 for presidency on this ticket, and while campaigning was shot in the chest, and yet continued his speech for another hour and a half before seeing a doctor. I reckon if I had to listen to an hour and a half speech, I'd probably shoot myself. Anyway, by now World War I was starting to break out in Europe, and Teddy lost the election to Woodrow Wilson. Give him credit, Bull Moose's Progressive Party won 88 electoral votes, making it the most successful third party in American history, which stands to this day. Theodore Roosevelt died peacefully in his sleep in Long Island, New York, on January 6, 1919, at the age of 60, from a weak heart. And he had many great quotes. "A man who has never gone to school may steal from a freight car, but if he has a university education, he may steal the whole railroad." Here's another one I like. "I do not like the hardness of the heart, but neither do I like the softness of the head." I couldn't agree more. 9/10 of wisdom is being wise in time. Good stuff. Happy birthday, Teddy! In geek news, 1925, happy birthday, Albert Medwin. He came up with the first CMOS chip. Now, unless you're over 40 and an IT person for a living, you probably don't know what that is. But for those of us who do, we say, thanks, Albert. In other patent news, 1925, Fred Waller patents the water ski. Hit it! He called them Dolphin Aqua Skis. They were made of kiln-dried mahogany. 2012, the Neon Building opens up in Vegas. Because I can't even say the word Vegas without a smile coming to my face. The Neon Building is where you would go if you wanted to see the old Nevada signs from the Old West days. Maybe not that Old Westy, but according to Nevada locals, business owners, and city officials, those signs are historic. Okay? The Young Electric Sign Company held on to these famous pieces after LCD and LED lights started replacing the classic neon signs. Some of those neon signs have been up since the 1920s, but when deterioration began taking its toll, more than 150 signs, such as the Golden Nugget and Silver Slipper, were moved to the Boneyard inside the Neon Museum, right there in the Fremont Street Experience. So class, for extra credit, be sure to check out the Hacienda Horse. 1916, happy birthday Professor John Randolph Winkler. He discovered sprites. A sprite is an electromagnetic discharge in the upper atmosphere above a lightning storm. Really cool to watch if you just YouTube sprite electric discharge. On July 6, 1989, at the University of Minnesota, Professor Winkler was testing a low-level TV camera for an upcoming rocket launch when he came across these glorious sprites above thunderclouds. Happy birthday, Professor Winkler. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for October 27th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Take a look at the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's ep. For example, did I miss anything in that Teddy Roosevelt story, or did that pretty much cover everything? When was the last time you've been water skiing? Fun stuff! Red Sox fans, was it a curse broken, or just a change of luck? What do you think? Have you ever seen a picture of Elvis and his haircuts? Whoa! So yeah, let me know what you think on the comment board. You can also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on there. I made it myself, so good luck. And be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. I will conclude the Cuban Missile Crisis. Plus, I'll talk about the Cotton Gin and the Gateway Arch. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So until tomorrow, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.